The San Antonio Spurs' 2017 NBA season came to a conclusion Monday evening after the Golden State Warriors swept the Spurs 129-115 in San Antonio. In what might have been Manu Ginobili's last game, the Spurs tried to put up an effort, tried to put up a fight. The Warriors led by double digits for majority of the night. San Antonio would claw into that lead a little bit. And by the end of the fourth quarter, with about 2 minutes left, Coach Pop had decided to pull Manu, and as the fans really embraced Manu, it was basically Manu's night, where he started in the game. The Spurs, try to put together a fight, try to attack the Warriors. I'm not gonna go real stat heavy in this piece. They did try to hold them as much as they could, but in the end, Golden State just has way too many weapons. If it wasn't Kevin Durant going off on one end, it'd be somebody like Stephen Curry. If not, it was a guy like Draymond Green hitting threes. So the Warriors just had too much answers, without Kawhi Leonard, without Tony Parker, without David Lee. The Spurs were just, Manu had that quote where it's like going to battle with a bat. That was basically Manu's version of what this night meant. If it was Manu's last game, he had a really good performance, finishes with 15 points on 12 shots, shoots 50% from the floor. Efficient basketball right there. He also dishes a team-high 7 assists, who actually ties that with DeJounte Murray. So Manu was, he shot a few threes. He was trying to get to the line, trying to also run the pick and roll, try to attack defenders off the dribble, just basically showing a little bit of a summary of what his whole career has been about and all the type of skill set that he has as a ball handler. Up until that fourth quarter, he was still driving to the basket, still being very physical. He was the talk of the night after the game. The coaches, both Coach Pop and Coach Brown, said some really encouraging words about Manu. Draymond Green talked about he's always been one of the toughest defenders he's gone against. Stephen Curry talked about how he's always loved watching him play over the years. So this was Manu's night. The Spurs didn't get it done, but it was really cool to see. If this was his last game, it was cool to see how Pop handled it by starting him and just how the fans really embraced him, starting those different cheers. They do like a Manu type chant. They do a one more year chant, a ole ole type chant. So we'll see now the futures. Manu obviously is not going to, he had a really good quote in Spanish where he says that he's not going to just make a decision on the night of when his heart's beating like over 180 beats per minute. He's going to actually take time just like usual and go into spend some time with his family, get away from basketball for a little bit, and then really think about his decision. I went back through my Twitter history from last year, and I remember on his personal blog when he released the information that he was coming back last summer, it was actually on July 3rd. So Manu may take all the way till July. For the Spurs, that's going to be kind of a little bit difficult. I think he needs to actually tell them a little bit sooner just because of as I'm going to get into a little bit later, their financial situation does depend a little bit on his decision as far as what types of moves they want to make going forward. So the Warriors are off to the NBA Finals, where they're going to meet the most likely it's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers again, once again. But the Cavs still haven't finished up their series. They're only up 2-1 on the Celtics at the time of this recording. So the expectation is it should be another the third time in a row now, Cavs Warriors, and hopefully these two teams can stay healthy. That way we actually get a really good series. For the Spurs, it's going to be a big what if Kawhi doesn't roll that ankle on Zaza's foot, and who knows, how this series could have ended with the Warriors. But the Warriors took care of business and they went on to sweep the Spurs. Now let's go ahead and let's go away from the game and let's start talking into the Spurs' offseason plans. So here they have a few looming decisions coming up. First up is the NBA draft. That's going to take place June 22nd. The Spurs will have two picks. They have the number 29 first round pick, and then they have the number 59 second round pick. Last year DeJounte Murray fell to them. I kind of felt that they were at that point last year. I felt like they were going to kind of pick another European player, international player, and kind of keep him overseas. That way, that player doesn't take away some of their cap space. I still have that same feeling this year, just because of the way their cap situation's kind of structured. It almost feels like they really can't take on another, additional, basically $1 million plus in salary for a guaranteed first round rookie contract. So unless somebody slips, like Murray really slipped, I don't think they were going to make that move last year unless he slipped to them. He had lottery potential coming in, and obviously he fell a little bit. But unless they have like a player where he's got some lottery potential, maybe he just falls off and a lot of teams didn't expect that, I think you could see San Antonio nab that player. I don't know who that player is, But otherwise, if there's not really anything too spectacular, it's going to really shift their future going forward, like how Murray's going to be, you know, a really good piece for them going forward. I think that they will go the international route, draft an international player and try to just keep him stashed overseas. That way he doesn't, that player, his contract won't be on the books this coming summer. If you want to follow our guy, Benjamin Bornstein, go over to projectspurs.com. All season since like November, he's been writing every week. He writes a draft prospect that the Spurs can pick. I'll be putting we'll be looking at a list of all those players later on as the draft gets closer. And so I really ask you to go check out Ben's pieces because he's been doing a great job of just finding skill sets, different positions, whether they're shooting guards, point guards, big men, different types of versatile 3-and-D guys, talented guys, multi-skill set guys, should I say. Ben's done a great job of trying to see, you know, which player in college right now is kind of under the radar, who's going to probably be a first round pick or late second round pick, who he thinks that maybe either can be put into the Spurs system right now in San Antonio or go straight into the Austin system and start developing for like a year or two. So I really definitely recommend you check out projectspurs.com and go look for some of Ben's pieces. He's done a great job of that all year, and now's the time where it's going to show, especially if the Spurs, you know, end up picking one of those players that he's been talking about. If not, you know, like I said, personally, I think that they'll go the draft and stash route just to save some money. 7 days after the draft, there are some big decisions coming up for some of their current players. Pau Gasol has a player option for about $16.2 million. This is a big one right here because for the Spurs, if Gasol opts out, it gives them a lot more flexibility to make some maneuvers in their cap situation this summer, whether that's re-signing some players, as I'll talk about in a little bit, or if that's adding a new piece or two, or even bringing back Gasol back at a smaller margin. But for Gasol's case, you almost ask the question, put yourself in his shoes. Why would he do that? He's already 30 plus years old. He saw how in these playoffs against certain teams, his minutes got diminished. It's not his fault. He's getting older, but his defense is just a liability against most teams, especially a team like the Warriors, who the Spurs do eventually want to make that their goal to beat those guys. You know, he's almost unplayable against some of those really, really good defensive teams. I mean, quick teams who kind of just try to target him and pick and rolls and get him switched up, or those motion type teams that run off a lot of screen action. So Powell's got that $16.2 million offer. I think that he's going to opt in. I think it was back in December or something like that. He had already said he was planning on opting in. That's when he was starting, you know, and the Spurs were winning so many more games. And then later on in the year, I remember there was a report where he says he'll think about that time as it gets closer to that date. So now we're not really sure what Powell's going to do. I think that he's definitely going to opt in just because, you know, for his sake, financially, he can, you know, I don't think any other team's going to give him a deal where he's making $16 million in year one. That's just not on the table now that the teams across the league have seen his value diminish a little bit in today's NBA. So I think Powell's definitely staying on the books. The Spurs have David Lee as well, who has a player option. His date as well to tell the team is by June 29th. He has a player option for about $2.3 million. So him, he could opt in or out. I mean, it's stunk for him because he hurt himself right in that game three when he messed up his knee a little bit. So maybe teams that were maybe evaluating him, whether giving him a decent contract, maybe that will withhold him from making an offer until they see that him play on the court again. Or maybe he just opts in because he likes the Spurs environment. He wants to just stay on that veteran minimum, which will increase to $2.3 million. If he does opt out, that's actually what his veteran minimum is going to be. It's going to be about $2.3 million because of the rise in the cap. The veteran minimums amount has gone up as well this summer. So either way, Lee should probably make that same amount. Maybe he opts out just to help the Spurs a little bit more with cap flexibility, because even if they go over the cap, they can re-sign him at least as a veteran minimum. If that's how he wants to go to help the team, it's up to him. That's up to, you know, what his market is. Maybe his agent is already getting some offers, you know, out there. So who knows what Lee's going to do. That's where his situation is. And then, of course, lastly is Dwayne Dedmon. He has a player option as well for $3 million. And his date as well to let the team know is June 29th. Dedmon, earlier in the year, you felt that he was going to opt out just because his value had gone up. You know, he could, at one point of the season, it felt like he would opt out of the Spurs. It almost felt like the Spurs were going to get scared that he was going to cost too much to retain him. Now, though, as you watch the playoffs play unfold, it looks like I don't know if he would actually be in their future, because you saw his minutes after that that game in Memphis where he had a game in the Memphis series where he had like a stomach virus and he missed a whole game. And then after that, he lost his starting spot to David Lee. In the Houston series, he didn't see a lot of minutes. And then, of course, in the Warriors series, he would only play if the game was decided. So something happened here where the coaching staff just wasn't happy or maybe didn't trust him in playoff games, real playoff games, crunch minutes. And so he obviously lost his spot. He didn't Pop wasn't really looking to play him at all. You know, is this something the team's planning on doing as well going forward? They just don't have a lot of interest in him. That kind of seems like the signal right now. So I think that the best bet is that he does opt out. He could probably make, you know, more than $3 million from another team. Team saw that he's a rim runner, protects the rim very well, athletic guy. He does kind of mud up the offense whenever he doesn't have the ball in his hands. As far as a rim runner, he's kind of like, you know, he catches at the free throw line. He doesn't really he's a little tentative to make that next pass. And that's kind of where in that Memphis series where you saw that Pop went away from him and went straight to Lee, because Lee can get that ball out of there faster on the free throw line when Kawhi or somebody got trapped. So I think that Deadman's definitely off the team coming in after that date. And then lastly, John Simmons, he had himself a really good playoffs, 2017 playoff run. You know, he was playing maybe 10 minutes in the Memphis series, when the team was fully healthy. Then in the Rockets series, when Tony went down, they needed an extra ball handler, an extra guy who can play some pick and roll action as well. And so he got the green light, and he showed his case. He scored, I think, about 13 points a game in that series. Then, of course, the Warrior series comes where they lose Kawhi, and Simmons has been, like, you know, outside of game four, he had a rough night. Game four, he had 13 points on 15 shots, but he showed overall in the series against the Warriors, hey, he can take Kevin Durant, he can take Andre Iguodala, he can take Klay Thompson off the dribble against a really good defense, even Draymond Green a few times, and he can take these guys off the dribble, get to the free throw line, he can make some outside shots. That mid-range shot, he had pretty well for him when the Warriors would go under screen, so he definitely showcased to the entire NBA his skill set if he does get starting type minutes, and I think he's definitely brought his value up. Right now, what the Spurs will have to do is we call a qualifying offer. They will have to, by June 30th, tender him a $1.7 million qualifying offer. Now, this doesn't mean this is what he's going to make next season. This just means that they've put a little bit of money into the Simmons contract where they're going to be able to match as a restricted free agent. So what will happen is, let's say July 1st hits, he gets some offers. He signs one, let's just say, with the team with a lot of cap space, like Brooklyn. So, you know, he goes to Brooklyn, he signs that contract. They send it back to the Spurs. The Spurs have so many days to decide, are we going to match this contract and keep Simmons long term, or are we going to let him walk away? Something you saw last year was a guy who saw an increase in a big offer thrown at him was Boban Marjanovic. The team did want to keep him last year at a certain price. And obviously he's not in the situation of Simmons, because Boban was just like their third big. He wasn't really playing at all in the playoffs, whereas Simmons has actually brought value to them in the playoffs. You know, he really increased that production. So it's up to the team if they're going to want to match any kind of offers that Simmons gets in free agency. There's going to be some lucrative offers out there. I don't know how high they'll get, but for me right now, I think that his projection is definitely like in the 14 to about $18 million range, considering he's a wing who can play the 1, 2, and 3 defensively. He can also guard some 4. He's getting, so as long as he keeps working on that jump shot, he's going to become a really good complete NBA player. And he's showing, you know, that ability just to run the pick and roll and get to the basket very, very effectively as well. So the team will have that decision to make with John Simmons. And then, of course, July 1st, free agency hits. And who is on free agency? That's when Monta Ginobili becomes an unrestricted free agent if he doesn't retire. That's when Patty Mills becomes an unrestricted free agent as well. So let's talk about Monta first. This is why I said earlier that I think that you'll see him you'll see him inform the team a little bit earlier than like last year on July 3rd that he's going to play or not, because of that he has a $21 million cap hold. So what that means is, that doesn't mean he's going to make $21 million next year. That just means that if the Spurs want to re-sign Manu at an amount over the cap, they have to keep that $21 million cap hold on the books. And so what that does though for them though is it really constrains their ability to try to go after any types of free agents, let alone some of their own, because that amount is so high. Another option they have is, if Manu kind of, you know, does, they don't have a clear signal yet from Manu, what they can do is kind of take off his cap hold, so what we call is renounce his rights, and then maybe if he decides he does want to play, they could save what we call the room exception for him, the mid-level exception, which is about $8.4 million. And considering the amount of, you know, he obviously deserves to make more. He made, you know, over double figures this year, this past season. over 10 million this past season when Philly kind of threw an offer at him, and then the Spurs kind of had to not match it, but they wanted to give him a more respectable offer to kind of be in that ballpark with Philly. So that's always an option, that if he continues playing, another team could throw some money at him. And if they don't have that, if they don't have him on that cap hold, he could walk away for more money. I don't think he'll ever do it, just because, you know, he's so ingrained with the fan base, with the team, the culture. This is basically his only NBA team. But I could see him, you know, you never know if he'll take like almost like a pay cut to play for the Spurs for like $8.4 million if he wants to give another year. Considering the amount of games he misses, you know, he does miss a lot of games due to rest. He really manages his body well. He did a great job of that this year, so that he was fresh, as you saw in May. He was ready to go. He played his best basketball here against the Warriors in that last month. So the Manu question is a big one for them. You know, whether or not he's going to retire or not, because financially there is some sort of implications. Next is Patty Mills. He has what we call a $6.8 million cap hold on his contract. So he is an unrestricted free agent, meaning that he can sign with anybody he wants. The Spurs can't match that. But if he wants to re-sign with the Spurs, as long as they keep his $6.8 million cap hold on the books, then I can see then they can make some moves and then re-sign Patty afterward, as long as they keep that cap hold on the books. It has to stay on there. If not, they would have to sign him only with cap space, and that's hard to do considering that right now, as of right now, they have no cap space. They're actually over the cap right now. So for Patty, I think that you've heard from several different, you know, different areas that they really want to retain. And Pop's comments, it sounds like over the season, it sounds like Patty's a big part of their culture, a big part of their team. You know, he's been with the team since about 2012, 2013. Time frame, and he's, you know, won a championship. He's become really good friends with Manu and some of the guys, and he's part of their culture. And it really depends on what's Patty's price as well. You know, against that, in that Houston series, you saw his value way up there with Kawhi by his side, another really good player next to him. He's a very effective point guard. But when Kawhi got hurt and a lot of the offense was on his shoulders to try to create for others, he struggled. You know, Klay Thompson, that was his responsibility to take out Patty Mills in the series. And he did just that. Patty had a rough series. You know, he had 5 points in game one, 5 in game two, 7 in game three. And then finally he got going a little bit in game four with 14 points, but it still took him 13 shots. So that just shows that without another like superstar next to him, it's hard for Patty to become a really effective player by himself on a team. So maybe that goes into some decisions by potential suitors of maybe lowering his value. But for him either being a starting or backup guard, I think that you're going to see him get somewhere in the ballpark of about 12 to 16 million is a safe number I would assume right now. And so that's up to the Spurs again there. If they can keep that cap hold, do they want to match 12 to 16 million to maybe possibly for Patty, considering he's probably going to be their backup once Murray eventually takes over the keys or when Tony returns sometime next season as well. So those are some of their free agent, I would say looming decisions that are coming up. Let's just go through a quick reading of like what the numbers are kind of projecting right now if some of these situations happen. So right now, with, let's just say everybody's back in. Powell comes back, Deadman, Lee, Simmons, Manu, Mills. They basically bring back the entire same team from this season that got to the conference finals and obviously is a big what if Kawhi Leonard doesn't roll that ankle. The Spurs would be $24.7 million over the cap. Again, a lot of that part has to do with Manu's cap hold. Let's say that Lee and Deadman both opt out. Okay, so I really think Deadman is going to opt out. Spurs are still $19.3 million over the caps. Still no cap space. 19.3 over. Now let's say Manu either A, retires, or is willing to take the mid-level exception. So his cap hold comes off the Spurs' books. So does Lee and so does Deadman. They both opt out. Now the Spurs are only $1.7 million under. Okay? Now let's say Manu, David Lee, Deadman, and Patty Mills walks, and John Simmons walks. If those five players leave, now the Spurs can start looking at some actual free agents. They have about $9.7 million available in cap space. Now here's the big one. Obviously, I don't think it's going to happen. Let's say Pau Gasol, Manu, Lee, Deadman, Mills, Simmons all leave. Then the Spurs are a free agent type of a suitor, because now they have $25.9 million to play with to throw out into the open market, whether that's getting a few pieces for Kawhi or that's getting one specific player. You know, I'm not sure yet who that player is yet, but you know, if that situation were to come about, you would see some rumors start popping up. So, but the problem with that, though, too, is that you only have $25.9 million and you're losing about almost six players there from a team that just got to the conference finals. So it's early. I'll be doing some more financial pieces as the free agency period gets closer on Project Spurs. But I would just, you know, just early, I guess I'll just say prediction, just for me, is I think that they would just, you'll see a very similar Spurs team to what you saw this past season. I think that Powell definitely opts in. I think Dedmon does leave. I think David Lee, either he opts in or he just resigns as a veteran on the veteran minimum. I'm not sure yet what's going to happen. Manu, that's obviously a big question. Depending on what Simmons and Manu, I think that's where you really see one of the Spurs' international prospects, Adam Hanga, who's playing really good over in the EuroLeague for a few seasons now. He's playing with Saski Baskonia. He just was the defensive player of the year basically over there for them. He's always had his club winning ball games. So I think he's around 27, 28 years old. So he's ready to make that jump. He's kind of like a very close, kind of like a Simmons without the pick and roll ability, very athletic guard, a wing who can get out in the open court. He can crash the boards. His shot last summer was very inconsistent. I'll be rewatching some film now that I have some time and start evaluating him as well. But I think that you if one of Manu or Simmons leaves, it doesn't have to be both, but if one of them does leave, you know, Manu with retirement or Simmons going to another team, I think that for sure you're going to see Adam Hanga come over. You know, almost like Bertens, he came from that same team. It's a good financial move for the Spurs, where you can maybe get that player on a lesser option than you would trying to get that same kind of skill set on the NBA open market. And they do have the rights to Hanga, and he is getting up there in age, so it almost like makes sense why he would want to come overseas to the United States to play basketball now. And then for Simmons and Patty, I really just think that it depends on the market for them. You know, if teams throw these mega offers at them that are really, really hard for San Antonio, you know, into their future financially, maybe they let them walk and say, you know, try your best elsewhere. I think that's a situation, because one thing that you got to keep in mind is that the Spurs have to keep an eye on next season, next summer. That's when they're going to be eligible to give Kawhi that super max that he's going to that he's earned because he made the All-NBA team. And then also, I think Danny Green and LaMarcus Aldridge come off the books. So there's going to be some possibly come off the books. So there's going to be some more open cap space next summer. So, you know, this summer could get crazy. I was listening to a podcast with Zach Lowe and Kevin Arnovitz, where they both think that there's been some actual chatter or some interest between the Spurs and Chris Paul. You know, you're probably going to hear the Chris Paul rumors start up. You're going to hear the Kyle Lowry rumors start up, maybe the George Hill back to San Antonio rumors start up. So there's going to be a lot. It's free agency. There's so many rumors. Just try to keep up with what's actually realistic, and you got to look at the long-term plans for the Spurs. So my early prediction is that they don't really make a lot of moves, drastic moves. I think that you see a very similar San Antonio team on the floor starting in October. For Project Spurs, I am Paul Garcia.